Hey everyone, and welcome to Unconventional Wellness Radio, a powerful and inspiring podcast set to revolutionize and disrupt healthcare. It's time to put you in the driver's seat and be the force of change necessary for the lifestyle you've always wanted. So anyway, I wanted to come on here, guys, and I want to start really unpackaging the MTHFR mutation and what we've been doing to supplement it. Now, MTHFR stands for methylene tetrahydrofolate reductase. Say that five times fast. It's actually the key gene responsible for coding for the enzyme that is responsible for methylating certain things in your body, predominantly, you know, folate, B12, things of that nature. But long story short is with a gene discrepancy, there are two that are not identified on two different. Okay, let's back the train up and not get super scientific with it. But in order to understand what MTHFR is and why are we starting to throw some understanding to it, let's start trying to understand how genes work. Okay, so we all know that we have a genetic profile, right? We have something that makes us up. There's something called a genotype and a phenotype. The genotype is actually your genetic information, whereas your phenotype is what is expressed, okay? So, for example, let's just say that my genes code for me to have brown hair, okay? So the phenotype is that I have brown hair. The genotype could be whatever, you know, geneticists have determined could be the gene specifically that codes for brown hair. So, like, let's just say that that's something that we'll refer to as either a big B, meaning that it's dominant. That's another thing that we'll talk about here in a second, or little b, which means that it's recessive. Well, in my family, most of us have brown hair. The reason being is because it's very dominant in folks of Mediterranean heritage, like myself, you know, Italians and Greeks and anybody around that entire area of Europe predominantly have black hair, black or brown hair. Now, of course, there are exceptions to the rule, but here's the deal. The dominant b is not being expressed. It's actually that little b that's being expressed. And that could like code for like something like not brown hair. So therefore it could be redheaded. It could be brunette, or excuse me, not brunette, duh. That is black hair, but it could be blonde, okay? So why I'm saying that is because we are finding out that our genetic makeup is of which most people may have a mutation, meaning that they don't have the accepted type of gene at that particular space in their genetic profile, and therefore they now have a problem with creating the appropriate levels of the MTHFR, which is the enzyme, right? Well, the MTHFR, which codes for an enzyme. So there's a spot that you can Google. There are two, and I know mine very well. Mine is actually at what they call the C677 allele. An allele is the actual physical location of the gene. And it's amazing, guys, that we live in a world now where we actually know what people's genetic profiles are. I mean, for the first time in human history, the human genome has actually been mapped. Like, we know on each one of our chromosomes, all 23 chromosomes, we know exactly what allele is for what. And we know, like, what codes for what. I mean, it's unreal. They've been doing this since the 1940s, and just in the last 10 years or so, 10 to 15 years, we've actually mapped out the entire human genome. So unbelievably impressive, which brings me to the understanding of now we are starting to understand genetics. Now we're just starting to get on the tip of something called epigenetics. And epigenetics is showing a little bit more promise in its understanding and ability to influence human health, because we are now taking into consideration diet, nutrition, or diet and nutrition, environmental factors, things like toxins, stuff like that, into consideration and how our genes also get expressed. And so now it's like really, really, we're getting into the weeds, if you will, about like how well we can understand our genes. One of the most famous epigenetic studies that I know of is involving two rats. And the rats have the same genetic profile. And what they did was they had one rat was going to be exposed to nothing but healthy, living conditions and environments, only given a certain specific diet of nutritious food and given the ability to exercise and all that sort of thing. The other rat had all of the, calorie filled and just, it did not have, it barely exercised. And what they were finding out is that these two rats with the same exact genetic profile, the one that they actually gave all of the healthy things to was in fact more healthy. And the one that was actually just given whatever, that one actually in fact ended up being overweight, had a bunch of different little health conditions and stuff like that. So pretty impressive that we have that going on. And we know now that even with somebody with the same genetic profile, all things being equal except for their environmental conditions, we may have expression of disease. I say again, as I said before, and you'll hear me say it often, is that 80% right now actually have a preventable disease. What that means is that all of the diseases that we see now, all of the chronic illnesses that you see in America are treatable. They're actually not even supposed to happen in the first place, because if we are taking care of ourselves through the appropriate lifestyle choices that we need to be, we in fact would not have these chronic illnesses, because we would actually be giving our bodies the way of being able to cope with these things, making those correct lifestyle choices, and be completely fine. Okay, so saying all that, we now know that there is a condition called MTHFR. We just know it is that. It's not really necessarily anything more than a mutation. And you can have it on two different spots. And you can also have, like I said, I don't want to get super into science, but you can either have a compound homozygous, a compound heterozygous, or just a homozygous. I'm actually homozygous, meaning that one base pair, all right, has been changed, and I now have a mutation. All right. No, it's not like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles of like the 1990s where I'm going to turn green and, end up getting a turtle shell or something like that. But anyway, for all you millennials, hopefully you watched it when you were a kid, because it's an amazing show. But anyway, so I now have a mutation, and it just so happens that the one that came from my mother and the one that came from my father, I just so happen to get a pairing of two recessive, if you will, mutated versions. And researchers are starting to find out that up to 50% of the population may be infected by a mutation in their MTHFR gene. And so I say all that because since the 1950s, we've been told that folic acid is unbelievably important to our health. And I'm not going to make this a debate on folic acid, but what I will tell you is this. Folic acid is crucial in terms of needing folate, right? So pregnant women, the very first thing that they're told by a practitioner, to include myself, what I used to tell them was, make sure that you're taking a supplement that's very adequate in folate. The reason being is because that deliberately goes into the development of the spinal canal and the rest of, the beginnings of the nervous system with an unborn baby. And so super crucial, you should be taking folic acid. We've known that now since the 1950s. Well, the fact of the matter is that the government did have a very good idea, and they said, well, why don't we go ahead and start making it a nutritional requirement for people who make food in America that they need to add folate to their products? Well, they started creating something called folic acid because it was easier to synthesize in a lab than it was for us to go out and resource it and somehow get it into our cereals and pastas and all those other carbohydrate type of things that we now have, that are ready to go in their boxes. Well, there's a problem with folic acid with people who have MTHFR. We have a difficulty with the very first step of taking that synthetically made folic acid and actually turning it into a bioavailable version of folate. And so therefore, we really want to watch the amount of folic acid that we consume. I probably consume barely any folic acid anymore. And the reason being is because I specifically watch out for it because I want to make sure that I am methylating the way that I should be. Now, let's talk about methylation for a little bit. Methylation is something like a light switch in the human body. You either are going to turn it on or turn it off. We call it up and down regulation is the fancy medical way of saying that. We want to upregulate certain genes at a specific time. Maybe they need to react to something that is going on inside of the body that we're, of course, totally unaware of. There are literally millions upon trillions of things going on inside of our body that we have no idea. And I'm super grateful for that because our bodies are programmed to take care of that on their own. But then we also may have to downregulate things too. It becomes difficult when we have an overregulation of certain pathways with an underregulation of those pathways that are supposed to be shutting them off. That's when we run into a lot of health concerns and health problems. And so first thing that I decided, you know, once I let me caveat this entire thing by saying getting genetic research testing or getting your DNA tested is something that I'm going to leave completely up to you. I don't represent anybody. You know, I'm not going to talk about any of the companies that are out there. You can get them now, like over the counter. Like you don't even have to actually like mail order them anymore. But it's entirely up to you. If you want to go ahead and spend the money to do it, that's your prerogative, okay? Remember that now that you have that knowledge, that raw data, if you will, now you have to have it processed. So you got to go to a different company and they'll actually process it for you. And then you'll find out really what your genes are all about. What are your genes actually telling in terms of your health status? Well, the problem is with that is now you know. So usually ignorance is bliss. I follow a gentleman by the name of Dr. Ben Lynch, who is actually very astute in terms of the epigenetics. He's been studying it now for a long time. And he actually wrote a book called Dirty Genes. And I really appreciate this book and I really like it. And what it does is it actually talks about how to clean up your genes, because it just talks about MTHFR, but it also talks about six other more common genetic, you know, mutations that might happen that lead to certain types of conditions. Well, anyway, I actually love it because he too also says, like, don't worry about going out and go get genetic testing. You can clean up your genes without necessarily going overboard and getting all of this testing done and all those sorts of things. You base it off of symptoms, okay? And so anyway, I say all that because I don't want you to go out there and spend tons of money, all right? I don't want anybody to spend tons of money. I want you to be smart about it, make informed choices that you feel are going to be beneficial for you, all right? So everybody's journey is going to be slightly different. I'm just going to blanket this thing and tell you about everything that I'm doing, and then you just go ahead and piece things together and determine if you want to do it as well. So I like I said, the first thing I did was I watched out for the amount of folic acid I was getting in my diet. Okay, so that means that I had to start off with, I know that I should be on a multivitamin, and so therefore, what multivitamin should I take? Okay, there are, we'll get into the supplements here shortly, but folks, I'm not necessarily going to talk about any particular types of supplements, nor say like who's good, who's bad. I would just simply say that you want to make sure that you get the ones that are well thought out by companies. You don't want to break the bank, because some supplements can be awfully expensive, but you also don't want to get the supplements that are just very inexpensive and just they're there. So it to me, the store really mattered, you know? And so I ended up going to a certain couple of stores that I knew that were health food stores that I knew I was going to get whole food supplements, you know, these companies that actually determine and think these things out and actually come up with really good supplements. There might be better supplements out there, guys, and I guarantee you I'm going to see them in the comments about like, oh, well, I think that's great, but I take this instead. And that's, let's do it, right? So like, if you have a supplement that you just love, that you want to scream it from the mountaintops, let us know, because we're all in this together. This is all a community effort here. And by all means, nobody's perfect. And, you know, I might be taking something that you've got a better version of it out there. And so I'm actually interested as well. Like, this is like something that I'm doing now with the best of the information that I have right now. But of course, I'm here for improvement as well. And so I really want to make sure that we, you know, lose our sense of attitude about like, you know, mine's the best, this is the best, this is the worst. Let us know, that way we can make constructive, well thought out, informed decisions so we can improve our health, because that's the bottom line, is we want to improve our health. So I think I've covered all of that, right? So MTHFR, if you got any questions about that, by all means, comment in the box. If you think that you are interested to find out what those symptoms might be, by all means, let me know. Some of the symptoms that I had was I'm prematurely graying. And I found out that that could be related to not only MTHFR, but as I was reading Dr. Lynch's book, it could also be related to, you know, being a producer of hydrogen peroxide. and that comes from stress. And so I found out that also stress was causing my premature aging. That really funny old school thing that we grew up with like, you're going to cause all the hair on my head to go gray. It's true. You know what I mean? Like, you actually can create super mutase or super peroxidase, and it's actually, it acts a lot like hydrogen peroxide, and it literally can bleach your skin and things like that. You can actually end up getting prematurely gray. So it's pretty wild. But anyway, and then also the cilantro thing, but I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I also am not a fan of cilantro, but it's because it tastes really weird to me. And that too is also a genetic thing too. But like I said, we'll save that for another fun video. Okay, so let's talk about the supplements that I'm currently taking, okay, in order to manage my MTHFR, because essentially I want to become a better processor of things, right? Being in the military, being a combat veteran, I've been exposed to a lot of stuff. I've been in a lot of heavy metals. You know, when you're in the service, there's no such thing as a religious exemption. You can't just go, that's okay, I'll pass on that immunization. You get it. So regardless, I got a lot of those, did a lot of them, things like that. I was out in combat environments around who knows what types of metals. So I had a lot of heavy metal stuff. So I want to make sure that my metabolic processes are working effectively so I can, in fact, chelate, meaning to bind up and then get these things out of my system. So the first thing I started taking was a supplement that I knew that was going to have not only the correct things for me as a man, right? Because you can get these in a women's formula as well, because we need two different types of things. But I really love the fact that this not only has folate, all right, as methylfolate, but one thing that a lot of people don't pay attention to is that not only do you need methylfolate, but B5 and B12 are also important in the folation pathways and our methylating pathways. B12 is known as cobalamin, and B5 is thiamine. Or am I messing it up? Or it should be riboflavin. Let me see if I don't second guess myself, right? So it should be thiamine. I promise I will hop on the internet because, you know, Dr. Google knows all. But anyway, it should be thiamine, right? And so anyway, those two things, I'm actually going to stop myself right there so I can make sure that I'm all legit on what I am saying. Because it's the B vitamins. I don't care how many times you've memorized all these vitamins. With all the B vitamins, it is ridiculous and how well you forget. Okay, so pantothenic acid. That's actually what B5 is. It's not thiamine, excuse me. So pantothenic acid and cobalamin are necessary for pushing along the methylation pathway. And so when I tell you to get a methylated folate supplement for your multivitamin, you should also be looking at one that is methylated for both B12 and methylated for your riboflavin, your thiamine, your pantothenic acid, because all of those B vitamins are cogs, if you will, in this methylation pathway. So that's the reason why I'm going with the one that I'm taking now, because this one, in fact, does have plenty of vitamin D. Folate is methylfolate, B12 is methylcobalamin, iodine, and zinc, okay? And so this one, so far, so good. I know that I've got it. I've taken different supplements in the past, but I realized by reading that book, I probably should be considering other methylated sources as well. So that's the reason why I take that now as a multivitamin. And now here is just a multitude of other things. I'll hurry up and try to run those down as to why I take them and what's my rationale behind them. Okay. Love the fact that doTERRA came out with Copaiba soft gels. I used to just do, and you still can get Copaiba until you want to buy the soft gels. Do 1 to 2 drops of the Copaiba sublingually. I have always added it with frankincense. This is huge for me, okay? I want to make sure that I have both of those essential oils on board. I also, you'll see if I open up my little, this is my old fart box. So, because I have to literally separate them out by the day, because look at how many I take in a daily basis, and we'll go over all of them. But I also will take a DDR Prime. The reason why I'm back to frankincense right now is just simply because I need to order my DDR Prime. But I'll probably be adding pink pepper to that as well. So like I said, everything continues to improve, right? So those are like my basic ones, okay? I found out that I'm also low in vitamin D, and so I use a vitamin D dropper. And then my good friend Jen, who's probably watching this video, her and I had a great talk about some magnesium. Magnesium is another one that is critical for helping in the pathway of being able to appropriate and utilize vitamin D in the body. And so I am going to also be looking into getting myself started with some magnesium as well. Now, I've done Natural Calm, but I really want one that's going to have some more bioavailability. And so I am looking into one that I think has like five different types of magnesium in it, because your body uses different forms of magnesium for different processes. And so once I dive into that one, I'll come back and I'll let you guys know about that. I always take vitamin C no matter what, okay? If I'm feeling like I'm feeling right now, I'm a little like got a scratch in the back of my nose, I'll usually up that to two. I really enjoy this, that it's a two-phase vitamin C. It's got a fast-acting first stage, and it has a time-release second stage, because with vitamin C, it's one of those multivitamins, or I should say it's one of those vitamins that's water-soluble. And so if you don't necessarily, if your body says, I don't need this right now, it'll just immediately start processing it and put it out of your system. Okay? So that's why it's nice to have the time release two stage. And that's what I use. This one I can't stand, but I totally need. Niacin has been shown actually in evidence-based medicine. So clinical studies have shown that the use of niacin at least 500 milligrams a day is good for improving your good cholesterol. And so good cholesterol or HDL, which is the high density lipoprotein portion of your cholesterol, has this cardioprotective benefit. It actually can show a better chance of being able to protect against cardiovascular problems. And so I take niacin. The only downside is that I have not gotten used to this. I still get what is called a flush. So like you may have seen it maybe on other videos, ears will start getting red, my face starts getting red, I get a little itchy. It's kind of frustrating, but you know, if you want to take it at night or something like that, I just deal with it, guys, because I know that it's doing something good. There is one called a no-flush version, but from what I understand, I talked to a couple of nutritionists, and they said that it's actually pretty ineffective. And so I have to just grin and bear it and take my I just have to take it. I just have to take my niacin and be happy with it. I also take another product by Thorne. This one's called MethylGuard Plus. What this one has in it, it has B5, B6, more folate, and B12 in it. So this is a great supplement to this, in the sense that now we're making sure that we get all of those additional methylating pathway factors taken care of throughout the entire cycle. If you just Google methylation cycle, spelled Y-L-A-T-I-O-N, you will see where all these factors come into place. And so I really enjoy having this in hand, because this will allow me to have all of those factors. So I'm making sure that I'm methylating appropriately. That has been a game changer for me. It's called Methyl Guard. It's a really, really good one. Of course, I'm taking fish oil. Okay. You can take Z Omega by doTERRA, totally fine, but I need a lot. Okay. I have a history of cardiovascular stuff going on in my family. And so I need one that's going to have at least 650 on the EPA, okay, which is really, really cardioprotective as well. Love these ones from Nordic Naturals. Okay, so I take two of those every single day, which gets me roughly, you know, it's like somewhere in the neighborhood of about 2,000 milligrams of fish oil a day, okay? Let's see, is that all my basics? I think I went over all my basics. Oh, and then, yeah, so we'll go over these here as sort of like secondaries. These ones I take in the evening. This is red yeast rice with nattokinase. Nattokinase, by the way, guys, superfood. Really, really phenomenal at being able to help support your circulation. It's a phenomenal, fantastic superfood. So the two of these together, I really enjoy. Red yeast rice does a great job of making sure that my cholesterol levels stay where they're supposed to without having to fuss with any of those regular conventional medications. So I really enjoy being able to take that. And acetylcysteine, or NAC, is it also has selenium and molybdenum in it. This is really phenomenal for free radical protection. And so I take, not only do I take vitamin C, do I take vitamin E, right? You could also consider starting with that yarrow and palm. Remember I did a video on that just about a couple of days ago. Yarrow and palm are super high in antioxidants. Critically important to the body because our bodies don't get a lot of free radicals. And so when we are literally just living, like we don't even have to be exposed to toxins or consuming free radicals like by smoking, which is the most common way, we are producing free radicals just by the simple virtue of metabolism. And so if we don't have free radicals in the body, we need to make sure that we have antioxidants, which have these extra electrons, or they're electron rich, and they freely donate their electrons to the free radicals and make them happy, make them a stable molecule so they don't go around and causing damage to our tissues. And so it's super important to make sure that we're getting lots and lots of antioxidants. With all of these different things, I don't know, you know, my liver is operating appropriately, but I still take liver every single day. This is a desiccated liver. It comes from, goodness gracious, who is this? It's actually a paleo supplement, which I don't understand how, you know, liver wouldn't be. But it's from Perfect Supplements, okay? I just take it because your liver, with all the detoxifying, it needs constant support. And so therefore, I take that. Plus, I take milk thistle. Milk thistle is a dietary supplement that is really great for being able to help support liver function. Okay, so milk thistle is really good. If you want to add stuff like, you know, essential oil-wise, Zendocrine, Zendocrine is really great to add. And then also juniper berry is also really good too for both, it's sort of like that whole liver and kidney function is really what it helps out with. Then you've got citrulline. Citrulline, I did not know, but I did some study on some citrulline, and the primary function of the citrulline is for, really good immune system function. But it's actually really cool that even the citrulline is really great for like acting as sort of like it's a carrier, if you will. And so, like, I really love it in the system because it does a really wonderful job in making sure that that immune system runs real well. Resveratrol, I think, is a game changer for me. This one is really wonderful for cardiovascular support, but they're also saying that it's an anti-aging blend. Listen to what it's got in it. It's got more polyphenols in it. It's got green tea, grapeseed, acai, pomegranate, blueberry, noni fruit, alfalfa, and hawthorn. And then it has regular Japanese knotweed, and then it has the resveratrol, which is pretty much half of it comes from that knotweed, but then it has vitamin C in it. So lots of antioxidants in that one as well. And I really have felt like I started that one and I just felt better in terms of like my energy levels were better. I was sleeping much better again. So I really liked it. Here's something we don't get a lot every single day, which is taurine. Taurine, which is, the root word of it is tor, which means bull, right? Men, talking to you out there. Don't we want to be strong like bull for the rest of our lives? Well, that's probably why we need to go ahead and consider being on taurine. It's predominantly for your vision, but really this one is actually fantastic for just like vigor. Like I honestly feel like, my vigor has improved because of the addition of taurine. And I take that, I'm not going to give you guys got to do your own research in terms of like your body, your gender, your age, and all that sort of thing in terms of the recommendations for the dosages. But I'm just giving the supplements that I take. I don't know how this one's going to play, knowing that we now have turmeric oil, but I really enjoy turmeric just by itself. This one's extra strength, so it's in a phyto cap, if you will. I get like almost like 450 milligrams of turmeric every single day with this one. And then it also has black pepper in it as well, but this one has been great for those chronic, long-standing, like wonderful, discomforts that I get, via the military, via my military service. It's really great at being able to keep a lot of that stuff. And the benefits of turmeric, it's just phenomenal. Chromium. Here's one that I didn't know about. So I read one study that said that chromium is the one thing, I don't know how they tested it for this, but in folks that have heart attacks, they said that people's chromium levels were actually low. Right? So like chromium, it's a extremely not well-known micro metal, if you will, but it is phenomenal for cardiovascular function, and it's also really good for metabolic function. And so like there's this condition that we talk about as clinicians, if you will, and that's called metabolic syndrome, right? So like, I don't know if it's a diagnosis. I can't remember if it's a diagnosis or not, but it's like five different factors that you take in consideration involving like height, weight, right? So like body circumference, like right at the waist. And then you look at like cholesterol levels and you can look at, you know, glucose levels, which is the blood sugar and stuff like that. And anyway, the people that have more of those being positive are more likely going to have chronic conditions in terms of like, you know, a lot of those like need to be managed preventable disease type things. And so anyway, chromium is really fantastic for being able to make sure that your body has all those like wonderful things that let those processes happen the way they should. So I'm totally on chromium. And then glucomannan. Glucomannan is, it's konjac root. And what it does is it actually like is crazy absorptive of water. And it does a phenomenal job of actually absorbing water, and it sits in your gut and gives you like this early satiety feeling. So it's really nice to be able to use. I don't use it very often, but it's definitely in there. It helps with like, you know, just that wanting to overeat. A lot of people say like, you know, start eating until you're about 80% full and then stop. I just like to eat until I'm satisfied. And so I make sure that my portions are the appropriate size. That way I don't have a tendency to overeat necessarily. And once I eat that portion, that's it. I give my body some time to let those hormones let me know like, okay, you've had enough. That's good to go. The one last thing that I definitely recommend and I take, it's really funny, is that it's actually a liquid deodorizer, really. So it's chlorophyll. I actually take chlorophyll, and yes, it stains like the Dickens, so you gotta be careful because it likes to stick to the bottle and it stains just like chlorophyll. But that and chlorella are fantastic at chelating heavy metals. And so that's why I said I wanted to like really look at those heavy metals that I'm taking, or excuse me, I've taken in the past, and what can I do to like really bind those up and help my body process them. And so I recommend chlorella. It's a superfood. Spirulina is another great one to use. And so these are all the things that I use. So I hopefully haven't bored you with science, but this is what I use. And I want to make sure that you guys are aware of it. So comment below. This is just giving you my little personal testimony, if you will. These are all just what I'm using. I'm not necessarily saying that you need to go out and go buy this stuff right now. What I am saying is do your research. This is just here for you as a as a way to get started. And let's comment below in this thread. That way we can all like talk and be able to talk about like, you know, ways that we can help manage and be able to look at if we do have MTHFR, how can we successfully manage ourselves? That way we can have a healthy lifestyle. So anyway, it's been a pleasure as always. I will leave you with that, and we will definitely talk to you again on the very next Facebook Live or YouTube. Matter of fact, I also got a podcast now, Unconventional Wellness Radio. And I'll be starting up another podcast here very shortly that I promise I'll make the official announcement when it's started. But anyway, love you guys, and we'll talk to you again very soon.